this, and I was wondering how many people this week have asked you, how is your Easter practice going? How is it going? It's always a source of befuddlement to me that we are so good at penitence. We are so good at fasting and prayer and almsgiving and reflection. And then we get to Easter and the resurrection happens and we shout, Hallelujah! And then what? And then what? We have this great 50 days in which we celebrate Easter. Between the resurrection and the ascension. And this 50 days in the Orthodox theology was known as the time that the mystagogy was taught. It's the time that we have to struggle with and live into that mystery of the resurrection. To bring it into our bodies so that we can live it out. So that we can become co-creators in the new creation and witnesses to the life that is possible in the reign of God, to the transformation that is happening in the world right now around us. And so during this time, we hear story after story of these post-resurrection appearances of Christ, beginning with the Easter Vigil. And Easter Sunday and last Sunday, we hear how Christ appears to the women and the disciples and Thomas. And today, we're in the last chapter of Luke. And to put this in context, the story we hear today appears right after the encounter that Jesus has with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Do you recall that story? The disciples, despondent, despairing, head back to Galilee. Their Savior has been crucified. They don't know what else to do. They're walking along downcast, and a stranger joins them. And as the stranger walks along beside them, he begins to talk to them, and their hearts begin to burn. And as evening nears, they invite the stranger to join them, to stay with them, and to break bread with them. And in the breaking of the bread, their eyes open, and they realize that throughout the day, in their despair and despondency, they have been in the presence of the risen Christ. So the story we hear today picks up right after that. These two disciples have run back to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions, and they said, we've seen the risen Christ. And they began to relate their encounter. And yet we find, after all the eyewitness accounts, the disciples are still gathered in that room. They're stuck, locked behind the doors. They've lost all hope. They don't know what's next. They're afraid to emerge for fear that the same fate will follow them. Do you need some water? Sorry. I think our incense has become overpowering. Thank you. And so this is where we find them today. They're sitting there listening to the stories, but they're still not buying it. They're still not able to act on what they have heard. And at that point, Jesus appears in their room. And we hear they respond with fright, alarm. They're terrified. They're not sure what to do. And so notice what Jesus does. Peace be with you. Look at me. See my hands and my feet. See? It's really me. Let's eat. And notice the movement of the disciples. The disciples move from fright and alarm to disbelief, joy and wonder, to open mind and understanding, to a place where their heart begins to burn and they receive the commission and the blessing of Christ, and they go out into the world proclaiming to all the nations God's love and the story of repentance and forgiveness. Do you see the pivot that takes place? This pivot parallels the movement that Christ of the actions of Christ. Because you see, when we're in fear, what happens? We contract. We're paralyzed. Our hearts and our minds begin to shut down. And we can't see what is in front of us. We can't see the possibilities. And so Christ, the first thing he has to do is he has to ameliorate their fear. He has to bring them back to an equilibrium, a place of peace, so that their minds and their eyes and their hearts can begin to open and they can see the new possibilities of the creation, of creation that has happened with this resurrection. And another thing that's important to note that happens in the gospel today is Jesus appears not in this glorified body, not as he appeared at the transfiguration. Jesus appears to the disciples in a body that's scarred and wounded, in the same body that not too long ago had been placed in a tomb, lifeless. Can you imagine how the disciples felt when they saw that? No wonder they responded with disbelief and joy and wonder. As they beheld Christ risen in this scarred and wounded body, they beheld a human body that contained the uncontainable holy. It was undeniable. And in appearing in this scarred body, what Jesus was telling them is there is nothing, nothing so desperate, so stark, so hopeless that it cannot be redeemed. That it cannot be redeemed. There's nothing we face in this world today, not the issues with immigration, not the divide of racism, not poverty, not hunger, not our own struggles and addictions and tragedies. There is nothing that cannot be redeemed. That's the mystery of Easter. That's what we rejoice about. And so he appears to them in this body, and he says, "Let's eat." And it's not a coincidence that Christ's presence becomes known both in the breaking of the bread and eating broiled fish. Do you know, remember? Does that sound familiar? Bread and fish? Loaves and fish? Right? These are the same disciples that not too long ago said, "Send them away. We don't have enough. We're done." And Christ comes to them and he reminds them of who he is and who God is and the abundance of the kingdom, the source of our life. Nothing, nothing is so desperate that it cannot be redeemed and returned to the feast. Nothing is so hopeless that it cannot be redeemed and we be rejoined at the table with the gathered community of God. And the pivot point in all of this is that movement from fear to peace. Because it's as we move out of fear that we're able to start actually recognizing the risen Christ in our presence. And don't doubt it. The risen Christ is amongst us, right here, today. And the question isn't really where. The question isn't really how do we see him. The question is, what's blinding us from seeing him. What fear, what doubt, what scarcity is blinding us from seeing the risen Christ in our midst? And so we're called to move into a place where we can see the risen Christ, because it's as we see the risen Christ that we're able to be the presence of the risen Christ in a broken and wounded world. And this movement is so significant that I'd like to take a moment and really get in touch with it in our bodies. So take a moment and feel your body. Check in with how you're breathing or not breathing. Feel the tension. Feel where you're relaxed. Are you anxious? Are you at peace? And now, as you're paying attention to your body, recall a time in your life where you felt the most profound peace. Just complete, utter, and total peace. Another way to come at it is, when is a time that you felt completely and totally unconditionally loved? Or perhaps you felt that unconditional love flowing through you towards another. And think how you felt when you were embraced by these feelings of peace and love. How does your heart feel? How do your eyes feel? What happens to your breath? And when you're in that state, see if you can think of a time in the last week where you really encountered holy, when you encountered the presence of the risen Christ. Because as we move into that place of peace and love, our hearts open and our eyes open, and it's easier for us to recognize the holy in our midst. So stay with me, but I think this is an important movement. I want you to think about a time when you were just terribly afraid, really paralyzed by fear. It may have been the fear that you were going to lose something or someone that was important to you, the fear that something would be taken away, the fear that your future was uncertain, whatever the fear is, however it manifests, check in with your body. Do you feel it as paralysis or anger? Do you feel it as hopelessness? Really let yourself feel what fear feels like. Do you notice how we can tell the difference between the physical manifestation of peace and love and the physical manifestation of fear? Now, take that encounter with holiness. Take those feelings of peace that you had at the beginning and let those come in and wash in and cleanse you of that fear. Let yourself go back to resting in peace. And note how we can move back and forth between these two places. We can move from fear to peace. It's often as simple as remembering to take that breath and open, to look for the other possibilities, to awaken to another way. Presence, the peace of the risen Christ is always with us, and we can always find it in our bodies. That's why it was so important that Christ came back to us in a body. It speaks to us of the importance of our bodies. Our bodies are full of wisdom. And just as we can know peace in our body, we can know resurrection and new life in our bodies. It's not something we're ever going to understand with our heads. We get totally sidetracked when we try to prove it or explain it. But if we live into it, we can know it in our hearts, and we can feel it in our bodies. Our bodies are a gift. Our bodies also contain the uncontainable holy. And so we can always move back into that place of peace. But peace isn't the end point. Peace is the pivot, right? Peace is the pivot. It's the place we go to so our hearts and our minds can be open, so that we can start living into and understanding the mystery and the scripture and the world that God longs for us to have. It's what sets our hearts on fire. It's what allows us to see what can be. It's what allows us to imagine the impossible and to step out in faith, to hope, to live from abundance. And this is the Easter journey. This is the Easter practice. This is the path to transformation. Living into that mystery, opening our hearts, letting God's Spirit fill us so that we can see the possibility of a new creation. That's what gets us out of that place of stuckness that Phil talked about on Easter Sunday. The place of stuckness between it's always been and it can't possibly be. This is the road, the journey that leads us into a world that God longs for us all to live in. A world of justice, a world of peace, of harmony, abundance, and feasting. This world is ours. We just have to open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see it. And it all begins with that pivot of peace. And Christ's peace is always with us.